if you want to invite somebody to be a part of Right Now Media, it's free to do that. Actually, they encourage you to do it as kind of a tool to share with somebody. Maybe you have a coworker that needs something or going through a marriage difficulty and you found a video on Right Now Media. Man, feel free to share that. Invite them to join. And it'll be Under Hope Church, and you can do that. You're welcome to share it. So it's the gift that keeps on giving. So, So if you're not signed up, what we'd like you to do is go to our church website or the Facebook page. Find the place where I don't know where it is on the website. Sign up for the newsletter. It'll be on the Facebook page and on our website. So go there, sign up. When you sign up for our newsletter, that will trigger our amazing organization that we have, and it'll trigger, and that will, in the next couple of days, you'll receive an invite from Right Now Media. If you haven't received one, you think you should, see Mark. Where's Mark Hoffman? Mark Hoffman, see, he is our Right Now Media administrator guy. And so see Mark. If you're not signed up or have some questions about it, see Mark. He is a Right Now Media expert. And it's really good. You should be signed up. You should be signed up. Amen? All right. I think that's all. I'm excited. Excited about it. I was just looking over some of the numbers. We'll be having a business meeting coming up soon, and we'll have all the numbers for what God's done financially for our church. God just has abundantly supplied for our church. It is awesome how much God has supplied, and by you guys, your giving, and I can't wait for you guys to see. I want to get the final numbers in before, but the amount of money that we sent out of the church this size, the amount of money we sent out is awesome. And I just thank you and there's people all over the world that are being blessed by our little band of believers right here in Woodstock. It's awesome. So thank God. Thank God for that. So God is using us, and I'm excited about 2016. And with that, let me just pray just more for me than anybody for our word, and just have our hearts open to what God has for us. Father, we just look to you this morning. God, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, God, that your word is life. God, we thank you, Father, that you will anoint this service and this time. God, I pray, God, that you would give us ears to hear what you're trying to say to us, God. God, help us to hear clearly, God, your word for this coming year and even for what you have for us this morning. God, we thank you, Father. And when we hear it, God, we'll be careful to do what we hear. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. So, I don't really have a fancy-smancy logo or big thing, but I wanted to start off this year with the message that's kind of been stirring in my heart for a while, and the message is entitled, What's New? What's New? And well, the crazy thing is, we went to St. Louis. I heard Greg Dove did an awesome job while we were away, and he's really good, but while we were away, it was the weirdest thing. I had like two dreams about this message. It was crazy. That's not really part of like me or anything. I don't really have, you know, supernatural dreams. I have pretty crazy dreams, as you can well imagine, what goes on in this crazy curly head of mine. But I'm getting old. Old men will dream dreams. It was crazy. I had two dreams about actually delivering this message and talking about this message and some of the things. So it's probably really good that you're here this morning, because I feel like we have a word from, hopefully we have a word from the Lord every morning, but every Sunday. But I kind of feel real excitement about this message and maybe what God wants to do in our hearts this morning. What's new? Of course, we'll start off, as a good preacher does, is a good definition of what the word new means. Actually, there's two ways that you can use the word new. The new, it seems, one of the definitions is this. It says, not existing before, made, introduced, or discovered recently, or now for the first time. Basically, this definition of new means that it never existed before, and it's new, right? It's brand new, something that hasn't really happened, never been apart, never existed. Maybe like a new species appears, a new plant appears, or a new, whatever new appears, right? God made the earth out of nothing, right? And so that's the definition. That's really definition of new. There's also a different definition. It says this. It says, already existing, but not seen. Not experienced or acquired recently or now for the first time. Meaning this. Basically, it's like this. Little Sally, this Christmas, got a new bike, right? Or this Sally, this Christmas, got a new PlayStation 4. Or that may or may not have happened to our home this year. So I've been playing Star Wars. So I've actually been able to fly the Millennium Falcon. It's been a wonderful thing. Supernatural, spiritual experience for me. But it's new. No, you know, the thing about this kind of new is we have seen it before, right? Little Sally saw her bike, seen her bike before, but it's new to her. It's now a part of her life. It's new to her. So God does new things. God is all about new things. And I believe that that God shows us that he is a God of new things in many ways. One of the ways is he shows us in creation, right? He shows us in nature, right? The earth declares the glory of the Lord. I believe when we see nature, it shows us God's tastes. It tells us a lot about God because he created it, right? When a painter paints a picture, it tells a lot about the painter, who the painter is and what the painter feels on the inside, right? But when God created, you know, God didn't say, oh yeah, that tree over there, we'll make another one on earth. No, that tree was original thought. Isn't that amazing? Before a daffodil was ever known, ever they thought through, God thought it through and made it out of nothing. You know, there's a lot of creatives in our church, the creative type people in our church, and just as kind of an aside, I want to encourage you. There is none more creative than God. So I believe as we tap into God's creativity, maybe you're an artist, maybe you're a writer, maybe you're a poet, maybe you know whatever, you do music. Let me tell you something. There is unlimited supply of creativity because our God is the greatest, infinite creative being that ever existed. He thinks things through before they even exist. He imagines things and he speaks things and they happen, right? He speaks new things, and so I believe in creation we see things like obviously we see the spring. When spring comes, it's like new, right? All this, well, we had 70-degree weather at Christmas, so our azaleas are blooming. That's kind of new in December. So, but you know, he makes all things new. Like you think about when you go in the spring and like when you see the daffodils. Like, did you see the daffodils starts flying? You know, coming up in the middle of the interstates and the different places. You see flower. You see life coming back. It's like newness, right? New things. We see life, right? We see babies being born. New life. We were at the St. Louis Zoo, one of my favorite places to go. St. Louis Zoo. If you ever go to St. Louis, you need to visit their free zoo. Are you kidding me? It's a free zoo. But we were there, and one of the orangutans had given birth about like 3 or 4 months before. And so we saw like this baby orangutan. You know what a baby orangutan looks like? Cuteness. It's like the cutest animal on the planet. Their big face, you know, their big skin face with the big red mane hair around his face. You know, and their big lip, you know. They're big, I can't do, I hope that didn't look like an orangutan. But it was a cute little orangutan, and it was like, you know, it was one of those glass enclosures. And so the little baby orangutan was right there. I was like, oh, little baby, I never seen a baby orangutan. It was so cute. It was like new life. That new thing was like experiencing everything for the first time. New. Baby orangutans. I believe that speaks to God's character. What does the baby orangutan say about God? I don't know. Cute. Amazing. Adorable. There's a new, you know, new moon, you know, a few farmers. New moon, sunrises, right? There's when a sun rises, a new day. I don't think that's by accident. A new day. New, you know, you can forget yesterday was awful, right? But joy comes in the morning. A new day, the sun rises, and it brings new hope, right? Just trying not to say anything. A new season. A new year, right? So now it's 2016. Now it's 2016. All the good, the bad, and the ugly of the 2015, it's over. But the possibilities of a new year. See, I don't think God does things on accident. I believe He does things on purpose. He's a God of new beginnings. He's a God of second chances. He's the God that will let you have a do-over. And I believe a do-over is like when the sun comes up, when a new life is born into your family, when a new year rolls around, and you count down and you drink your whatever, and you celebrate. But this is a new year full of new possibilities, and it's God designed. It's new for you. Now, this is a good one. What about the tides? When the tides rush in, you know, a lot of you have gone to the beach and you built your little sand, maybe not your little sandcastle. I build little sandcastles. Some of these sandcastles I look at are just massive. Have you ever seen these things? Just huge. It takes an architect to figure out how to make these things. And I'm like, what kind of tools do you use to make? But it's beautiful. And I'm like, I'm just in the sand writing, David loves Julie, you know. That's about my artistic expression as I get. Or you ride in the sand, you do stuff in the sand, and then the tides come in, right, and wash it away, right, wash all those words away. Man, what a great, and I mean, God, we need to see life like that. Like, man, God makes all things new. Where there was a bunch of junk, God has the ability to come in with the tides and erase whatever was written on your life before and put a brand new canvas right there for God to write a new story on you. Come on. See, that does things religion can never do. But the life of God can breathe and do amazing things. A new story. You know, your story's not over. There's a new chapter coming. It's going to be good. 2 Corinthians 5:17. He talks about our new birth, right? Becoming born again. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. A new creation. The old has gone, and the new is here. Listen to this scripture. This is really the scripture I want to get to for this message. It's Isaiah 42. This is verse 8 and 9. He says, I am the Lord, that is my name. In case you were wondering, I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring up, I'll announce them to you. God has new things. And the cool thing is, there'll be a stirring on the inside. God will start stirring on the, you know, a couple of weeks ago, actually, early part of December, I was just praying, and I wasn't really praying about the next year, but I was kind of, in my heart, I was kind of thinking about it, but I was just kind of praying, and this word came up on the inside of me. Oh, wasn't it? It didn't happen like that. Let me say it correctly. No, we were talking, I was talking to somebody, and this word, when they said it, it's just a simple word. I'm not going to tell you what it is, because it's for me. Because I want to give you this word, and you know, then it's like, it's everybody's word. You know, what? No, this is a word God spoke for me. For me. God has one for you. Maybe for this year. And it's really all individual. But God, when that word, it was like, you guys who take the Spirit Life class, you understand this. It was like it just jumped out at me. And it was like written on my heart, that word. So God is like, he's announcing it for this next year before it ever comes. And it's for me about this next year. God has great thoughts for you for this next year. God has new things for you. God is infinite in his thoughts towards you about your future, about your plans. Plans that you've never even considered, never even thought of, never even entered into your mind, never even, you know, you couldn't even conjure it up, you know. But God has plans for you. I'm going to show a trailer of a movie that I've recently fallen in love with. So, it's not Star Wars.
Hi, how can I help you today?
Hi, I can't seem to leave a wink for someone.
Okay, I'm looking at your profile. You left a lot of this stuff blank.
Well, I haven't really been anywhere noteworthy or mentionable.
Have you done anything noteworthy, mentionable?
We have ahead of us the privilege of publishing the very last issue of Life magazine.
Jumping up and down the floor.
And for the final issue, we just received negative 25 from Sean O'Connell for the cover.
It's 25.
It's not there.
I know.
Look what I found!
What's that?
Travel journal Dad gave me.
The sun was an okay guy.
Hey.
They had a
hey.
How was your weekend?
An awesome weekend.
The ice, Jace. She moves like a woman.
I'd like to climb your hair.
Oh, wow.
What is it you call it when he goes into one of his little places?
I'm zoned out.
You do that now and then.
What's the matter?
I lost the picture.
I like mysteries.
You should go. Crack the case.
You were Sean's partner. He finishes work.
Keep this short. I have to make oxygen choices.
Maybe y'all have seen that movie, Secret Life of Walter Mitty. I watched it for the first time while we were in St. Louis. And wow. And I love movies. Especially I love movies kind of like this. This is a very, if you watch it, and maybe you don't, my family seems to think I put too much spiritual stuff into everything. But I did find great spiritual allegories in this movie. It's just amazing. The story is simply that Walter Mitty is a... actually, it was out of a poem written a long time ago. I don't remember when or by who. But Walter Mitty is like a daydreamer. And he'll, zone out. And he'll, have these, crazy adventures. They're going on in his mind. He'll be at work and be... You know, just completely zone out, and he's just in his mind. And they show him at one point they show him crashing through a window, rescuing a dog from a fire, and it's nothing. He's just standing there, imagining what it would be like if he was, cool and adventurous. And but that's kind of his life. And the sad thing, he's stuck at this job, and he works for Life magazine. And then the picture, the negatives department, meaning that, you know, the picture negatives, and he stores and archives all the negatives and the pictures. And he's kind of stuck there in his job, and he lives his life. He kind of cares for his mom because his dad's passed away, and that's kind of his life. Well, the last picture, because all life was going on digital, the last cover of Life magazine is gone. It's missing from the photographer that always takes the pictures for whatever the story goes. But so it goes missing, and he feels the call. You saw in the picture of the photographer, that's the photographer, and he was calling him to come. And so he goes. He gets on a plane, and he follows. And the crazy thing is that this photographer basically, you just have to watch it, but basically he kind of leaves clues. And that's not a spoiler. He kind of leaves clues along the way of where he is and kind of leads him on this huge adventure. And I won't tell you how it all happens. The photographer, it's interesting, the photographer is played by Sean Penn. I never thought I'd ever say this in my life, but Sean Penn's character represents God, really, in this film. I really just wanted to vocalize that. That sounds so weird. Wow. Yeah. Whew. But it's crazy. But he's calling, listen, God's calling you into an adventure. He's not calling to you into life as normal. He's not calling you into just mundane and crash dreams and I wish this could be this and I wish this could be that. No, he's calling you into himself. He's calling you to follow after him. And man, when you follow after God, let me tell you something. C.S. Lewis has a quote, and my wife made inspirational saying plaque thing that's really honor, because she's so creative, really creatively done. And it's the story, it's part of C.S. Lewis's Lion, Witch, and a Wardrobe. It's actually in The Lion, Witch, and a Wardrobe, that book. And Lucy is talking to the beavers, and the beavers are telling him about Aslan, who's a type of God, a type of Jesus. And she's talking to him, and little Lucy goes, "Oh my gosh, he's a lion? Well, is he safe? Is he a safe lion?" And the beaver goes, No, he's a lion. He's not safe, but he's good. But he's good. Boy, if you don't have to walk with God long enough to go, man, walking with God, it's not safe. But he's good. But he is good. God will take you on adventures. He'll take you into places that you never thought or never, sometimes never wanted to even be. And he will take you into that place. But he'll go with you. God is not safe, but he's good. And sometimes I think we put God in this Americanized kind of gospel that we say, well, yeah, well, God's, you know, he's full of blessing, he's full of love, he's full of kindness, and he's great. Man, walk with God. It's like people who say that, I'm going, do you walk with God? Like, for real? Because I've been places like that are scary, you know. I've been, you know, for me, and I know it's not for everybody, just in my own life, you know, you couldn't, God says, launch a church. What are you crazy? Launch out, right? God encourages things like Peter walking on the water. Yeah, come on out, Peter. Yeah, it's great. What? It'll be fun. It'll be fun. We'll walk out here together. It'll be great. He's not safe, but he's good. But he's good. God has new adventures for you. He has new things. He's, you know what? Maybe it's a new day to chase after God's dream that you have for your life. Maybe it's a new day. Maybe it's time that awakens on the inside of you, that new dream awakens on the inside of you and lives again on the inside of you and becomes a part of your life. Maybe God's challenging you to take risks this year. Maybe he's challenging you. What if he starts challenging? Maybe God's speaking to you and says, Why don't you start writing? don't you pursue, you know, you have this creative stuff on the inside of you. Why don't you start pursuing that? Instead of letting it lie dormant on the inside of you. God is drawing you. It's the Sean Penn character. Come on. It's the craziest thing. Pursue art. Pursue something that maybe has been inside you and just pursue it. Maybe God's pursuing you, and maybe it's time for you. Maybe go back to school. Take a risk. You know, you hear people that, I was going to say you hear people when they pass away. No, you don't hear people when they pass away. You hear people when they're older. Listen, it's so true. It's so true. Listen to people that are older than you. Boy, that's a... Rick, this year. My heart is, listen, you know it's a biblical principle. Biblical principle that the older teach the younger. It's a biblical principle. And so, actually, I want that to be a part of our church. I want that to be a kind of... But the older teach the younger. It's a biblical principle. My point was that you always hear people that are older say this. You never say, "I wish I would have played it safer." Yeah, I wish I would have spent more time with the office. I wish I would have kept doing mundane things. But there's something that God pulls on the inside of you. Remember, this is a walk of faith. God's calling us out to something new. I don't want to die with my song unsung. Right? You know, there's an adventure, right? There's an adventure for you. There's also a battle to fight. We live... You know, as John Eldridge would say, we live in a... Hang on.
Hello.
What was I saying? Oh yeah, John Eldridge would say this. There's a battle to fight. He would say this. He says, we live, you are born, you are thrust into this world in a battle, wrapped in a romance. That there's a romance, that God's romancing us, right, as it were. But there's also a battle that we have to fight. We don't live, we didn't get born into heaven. We got born into a war zone. That we have an enemy that's constantly after us. So man, if you don't engage in the battle, you'll just get toasted. Maybe there's battles for you to fight. Maybe there's a battle for you to fight for your marriage this year. Maybe there's a battle for you to fight for your kids this year. See, you got to be careful when you preach on, there's an adventure for you to go, because people think, people daydream like Walter Mitty. You're like, oh, wow, that'd be really great. I'd love to be in the Himalayas. You know, like, Himalayas are great, and I'll see them in heaven. And they'll be perfected. And I won't be cold. And there'll be plenty of oxygen. But you know, you have to be careful that when you talk about this kind of thing, our eyes don't get all glossy over with, man, there's a battle for you to fight. There is life to be won. There's a battle for you to fight for your kids, right? There's a battle for you to fight for your own salvation, for your own sanctification, if you will. Bondages, things that hinder us, addictions, habits that are not good, that keep us from to live the life that God has for us. You know, insecurities. There's battles for us to fight. God's calling us. He's calling you. He's calling me into something new. Friendships, the battle for your friendships. Maybe you got, man, I had a friend of mine just yesterday. He just looked so defeated, and I just you know. So what do I do as a friend? Man, I battle for him, man. How do you battle for him? You pray for him. I send him encouraging text messages. Encourage. But because we're all in this thing together, right? Battle for each other. There's a battle to be fought. There's others that we need to look to. Man, how's their relationship with God? You know, eternity is a long time. What am I doing? God, how do you use me in the scheme of their story, of their life, to affect them for God? God, use me. Help me. Engage me. See, our lives are so much greater than the 9 to 5. Oh, those don't exist anymore. I forgot. The 7 to 7 work schedule, right? Our lives are more important than just the next TV show or the next this or... I mean, lives. Our life is important for eternity. And what we do here matters for our eternity. And the new things that God has for us are great things. Am I telling you never to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. again? By all means, no. Watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's a really good show. But there's an adventure out there. Make no mistake about it. There's an adventure for you. God has great things in store for you. Are they going to be easy? No. No. Welcome to the adventure. Adventures are never easy. Not ones worth taking. Not ones that they write stories about and think about and people testify and talk about the great things God did for them. What didn't happen because they just sat around and wished and hoped and Walter Mitty daydreamed. It's because there was not just going on an adventure for adventure's sake, but it's a God calling them on the inside. So really that's my question for you this morning is, what's God calling you for this next year? It's different for you. I want you to hear what God has for you this year. For you. And let me qualify. Because in order to go into the new adventure that God has for you, there's going to have to be change in you. Jesus said it like this, Mark chapter 2, verse 22. He says, "And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst. The wine will burst the skins, and the wine and the wineskins will be both ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins." From my best understanding, and maybe you guys can help, but my best understanding about wine and wineskins, because I've never really done that, you know, they're coming bottles now. But wine and wineskins, basically back in the day, they would take animal skins of some kind, usually goat, whatever, just animal skins, they kind of vary. And they would take the animal skins and they would make it into a little container, if you will, some of them real big containers, sometimes really small containers. And they would take the wine and they would pour the wine in the wineskin and they would seal that wineskin up tight, right? And as the fermentation happened, did Jesus drink fermented wine? Answer that yourself. But they put the wine in the wineskin, and as the wine fermented, right? As the wine fermented, it releases carbon dioxide. Is that correct? Carbon dioxide, somebody? Yes, it was carbon dioxide. Since I'm the expert in wineskins. Wow, this is like a first. So I know exactly how this all works. So they put the wine in, and what happens is, as the wine ferments, it expands because of the carbon dioxide it releases, and it expands it. When it expands it, those wineskins become hard and brittle. So, and then you take the wine, you pour the wine. But if you put new wine back in that old wineskin, you fill that new wine up because it's expanded. If you pour that in there, that when it starts fermenting and the carbon dioxide starts to be released, it will crack and break because the skin's now brittle. It will crack it and break it. So not only is your wine ruined, right, but your wineskin is ruined. The wineskin. So Jesus says, you can't take something, that's new and put it into something that's old. How does that relate to us? What God wants to do in you, there's going to have to be a change in you for God to be able to pour the new into you. There has to be a change on the inside. We can't expect we can't expect the same, you know, whoever said it, you know, you can't do the same thing and expect different results. That's an old wineskin and new wineskins concept. Modern day translation. If you don't like the wineskins idea, well, you know what? If the iPhone 7's coming out next week or next year, I mean, you can't get all the cool stuff that the iPhone 7 has if you got an iPhone 4. You're going to have to upgrade. You're going to have to get something that's new. So I was going to have something about Android, but I don't know. Did they ever update? Or if you don't like that, you know, back in the day, maybe if you're not a tech, you know, tech gadgety kind of person, you know, back in the day, they would go out by the river and they would take clothes, they would wash clothes on the river, right? On the rocks. Just get out there. We've seen it. If you go to foreign countries, man, you'll see them. They're out there scrubbing in that nasty water. God bless them. You know, they invented things. Like the other day, they invented like a washing machine. You can choose to go out by the river, right? And wash your clothes out by the river on that rock, or you can go ahead and go up to Lowe's, or go wherever you're going to buy it. Go to Amazon because they sell everything now. And go there and buy you a washing machine. And man, you can put it in, put a little Tide or whatever you like in there, a little fresh scented, put all that stuff in there and let it go. And then you can walk away and you can go watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's great. You can upgrade is what I'm trying to say. You can upgrade. But you can't experience the fullness of what God has for you unless you change and upgrade and do something different. You can't pour new wine in old wineskins. Because the old wineskin, listen, maybe the way you are right now, maybe the way I am, maybe we are right now, I can't contain unless I grow as a person, unless I grow in my relationship with God, I can't contain what God wants to pour on the inside of me. Maybe that's why it's not happening for me. Say, I need an upgrade. The truth of the matter is, the best way to do this is pursue God, like we were singing about. It's amazing, all these songs. Greg coming up and talking about pursuing God. That's my whole idea for my message. You know how you get new wineskins? Pursue God. Grow in your relationship with God. Grow closer with Him. We're going to help you this season like we always do every year. And we do 21 days of fasting. Everybody. Now the first thought in everybody's mind is, are y'all going to stop giving food out on Sunday morning? Come on, that was your question. I know what you're thinking. This is what I say about fat. No, the answer is no. We're not going to stop putting food out. Some of you, and here's the thing. Jesus, like, I don't have time to really teach all about it, but listen, Jesus didn't say, if you fast. Jesus said words like, when you fast. Jesus fully expected that we fast, that we spend time of not just fasting, but prayer and fasting. Because if you heard me talk about this before, if you just fast, it is called a diet. And those are great. Diets are great. But it's not fasting. Pray and fast. Man, you know, go ahead, diet. That's all good. But Jesus wanted us to do prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Now, let me say this. My opinion about fasting is this. I feel like from a biblical, from the best I can understand from the scriptures, fasting has to do with food. Some type of food. Let me say this, though. I know people say, well, fasting can include not watching TV, not doing Facebook, not doing this. That's fine. I don't really consider fasting, but I ain't going to yell at you for doing it. Because really, at the end of the day, it's a heart thing between you and God. Is that okay? Okay? But I encourage you to do some kind of food fast. Actually, I encourage you to do both. Set some time aside. Maybe don't binge watch. Binge watch that show like you do. How did that become a saying in our culture, binge watch? Let me say this. Maybe, here's my thing about fasting. Listen, and we don't say, and some of you are new, and you're going, man, is he going to tell me not to eat for 21 days? That's exactly what I'm going to tell. No, I'm just kidding. No. This is what we say. Starting today, in the next 24 days, 21 days, my encouragement to you is do something. Do something. You don't even have to do it for the whole 21 days. I don't want to tell you what God wants to lead you into, to do. Maybe you've never fasted before. And listen, maybe you say, on Thursday of next week, I'm not going to eat lunch, but during that hour that I would spend eating my lunch, I'm going to go and seek the Lord and pray. You know what I say? You did it. Home run. Man, start simple. Please don't, if you've never fasted before, go, I'm going to only drink water for 21 days. That's what I'm going to, no, please don't do that. Please. Listen, and my heart is in this. Don't set yourself up for failure. Jesus asked us to fast, right? But don't set yourself up for failure. Don't get this big, grandiose ideas that you're going to do this. That's why I don't tell people, except my family, I don't tell people what I'm fasting. Because I don't want you to judge me, right? And I don't want you to feel like I'm not doing enough. Or I'm doing more than he is. I can't believe he's. What do you mean he's not eating Brussels sprouts for 21 days? Oh my gosh. I haven't eaten anything solid for 21 days, and you didn't eat gum. But let me give you some ideas. Let me help you out. Let me give you some ideas. Maybe fast a lunch. Maybe once a week for the next 3 weeks. Just the ideas. Just throwing them out there. Fast a lunch, and during that time we were going to eat lunch, go and read some of the Word. Go read your devotional. Something that connects you with God. Pray. Would be great. You can go, a little bit higher, and you go, not a little bit, this is a lot higher. Go liquids only. Liquids only. And I've done that, and basically, it's like, do you cheat? Well, of course I cheat. Can this be real? Can we just be real? I've seen people that I really highly respect fast, and I'm not lying. I've seen them go to the thing of, I'm like, man, go, dude. Gosh, man. To just not make you angry, that would be great. Liquid fast. And you know what? I'll say this. I've made all kind of stuff liquid. Oh, man. Yes, I've been known to have peanut butter in whatever shake that I'm making. Yeah, pizza in a cup. Oh. Yeah, I'd like to have a number one Chick-fil-A meal, please. Thank you. No. I think that's not right. I think there's something. That may be too far. Or how about this? Maybe for 21 days, maybe a week, maybe for 4 days. Wherever you're at. Maybe you only eat fruits and vegetables. And that's it. Well, now if you're a vegetarian, you're cheating. How about, oh yeah, if you're not eating vegetables, whoa. That's like the widow's mite right there, man. It's like all I got. Or coffee. Nah. Nah. Next. Do something. All I'm saying is this. Does that help? Do something in the next 21 days. Do something. You don't have to tell. You don't have to tell what you did. Nobody's going to be the fast police and walk up to you and go, you know, eating their Sunday, you're eating your Danish. You're eating your Danish. Everybody's like, they're drooling. Yeah. There's a lot more people during the fast in the sanctuary not eating, you know, but because they don't want to see you eat. But, you know, so, you know, nobody's going to go, I can't believe they're eating a Danish. You're just jealous. So you understand me? There's no condemnation here. Do what God calls you to do. And ask the Lord. Ask the Lord what to do. But I also want to, let's say, when you do that, listen, when you do that, a fast is really, and you're consecrating that to the Lord. Maybe you are doing the, I'm going to click off Facebook for 21 days. I'm going to, you know, not watch TV for 21 days. I'm only going to listen to, I'm going to switch off all other non-Christian music for 21 days. I'm going to, whatever you want to do, those kind of things. If you do that, listen, do it and you're consecrating that to the Lord. Right? You're doing that as a consecration to God. But like I said before, don't just fast. Don't just diet. Pray. Seek the Lord. Do something. Come to the, we'll be doing these, during this 21 days, we'll be doing our teaching on prayer. Maybe you're weak, be honest. Be where you're at. Maybe you're weak in your prayer life. Maybe you need to learn how to pray and how do I really get, sometimes I go to pray and just go, am I going to talk first? Are you going to talk first? Wait. But add prayer. Come to the prayer nights. Set some time aside to seek the Lord. And it's a great, I'll tell you what, it couldn't be perfect, this series that we're going to do with praying and fasting. It's going to be good. Praying, it's just really this. It's just, and for a lot of it, it's just saying no to your flesh. One of my favorite things about fasting is simply this, is I get to tell my body no. Listen, body, you don't run me. I am ruled by my spirit. If you would go to spirit life classes, I'm ruled by my spirit man. My spirit man controls me. I'm not controlled by my flesh. I'm not controlled by my mind. I'm not controlled by my emotions. It's a great way. Fasting is a great way to get that back in balance. So what's new? What's new for 2016 for you? What adventure is God, through Sean Penn, calling you? What adventure is God calling you on? And two, Craig, if you come, please. What's he calling you to? It's you, right? And the great thing about it, whatever he's calling you into, it's his call anyway. So he's going to make it work for you. He's going to make it happen for you. He's going to give you everything that you need. The Bible says he gives us everything that we need for life and godliness. Everything we need. Maybe it's risky. Maybe God's calling you to do some risky things. I think it's out there. I won't say who it is, but there's somebody in our church that's going to be leaving us in a summer to go off on quite an adventure. I'm proud of her. Stepping out. Just doing it. Is it scary? Yep. Is she nervous? Yep. Just stopping her? Nope. But maybe it's simply this. Maybe God's calling you to the adventure of your marriage. Putting energy into your marriage. Maybe there's some things in your kids that you're seeing, like some things that are happening in your kids, and God's really speaking to you, say, won't you come and engage again? Maybe there's some friends that God's calling you into that adventure of helping them and drawing them closer to their in their relationship with God. What is it? Maybe things that are were in the past in your life, God's springing them back up to new things. 2016. I don't know if it's going to be safe. It's going to be good. It's probably not going to be safe. It's going to be a lot of fun. 2016 will be just like 2015 in the way that there's going to be a lot of there's going to be probably some disappointments. There's going to be a lot of big highs. There's going to be a lot of what am I going to do? That's life. The crazy thing is, God's right there with you. He's in this adventure. He doesn't just shoo you off on an adventure and you're like, oh, good luck. He goes right with you. He's your guide. Right? He's your what's her name? Shakazawiya? Oh, how do you say her name? Shakazawiya. Yeah, she's your guide. Sacagawea. I was talking in tongues there for a second. Does everybody stand up? Stand up and bow your head with me. Real quick. Bow your heads with me and just you and him for a second. If you're new here or if you're first time in a long time or whatever. This isn't about a religion thing. It's about a you and him thing. So what's God calling you into this year? Maybe the first thing that pops in your mind is something simple and you kind of discount it. Don't discount that. It doesn't have to be the climbing the Himalayas vision. Maybe it's just something simple that God just spoke to you. What does God have for you? He's a good God. He'll never leave you through it. He'll never forsake you. So God, we look to you. God, as a church, we look to you in this time that we set aside as Hope Church. We set aside to pray and fast. As we seek after you, God, I pray that you'd speak to us. God, that we would hear you clearly. Because God, if you speak it clear enough, God, we'll do whatever you ask us to do. But God, we ask that you'd speak it to us. Make it clear. And God, I pray that you'd help us to follow through with our part of doing what we need to do. God, we thank you that you never leave us. And God, you're always for us. And God, if you're for us, nothing can be against us. God, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, Happy New Year. Here we go. Ready, set, go. Man, if you need prayer for anything, we'd love to pray for you. We'll have prayer people up front. And God bless you guys. We love you. We'll see you on Sunday.